This is Dr. Tim, detective, to bring you by transcription the mystery of the poisoner at large. It isn't very often these days that you run across a case of wholesale poisoning. But when you do, well, there's never a dull moment until you've tracked the whole thing down. There's nothing worse than to be poisoned, whether you take the wrong medicine out of your medicine cabinet by mistake, or whether it's fed to you by somebody else, as it was in this particular case which came to my attention not so long ago. But I'd better start right at the beginning. Sandy and Jill, they're a couple of my very best friends and helpers, were watching me at work in my laboratory this particular evening, and, as usual, the questions flew thick and fast.
Sure, I get the general idea, but what's that machine for?
It sure makes enough racket.
Well, as I was saying, it's called a centrifuge.
Uh-huh. That explains everything, I guess.
Yeah, I can see it just about as easy as a black sheep in a coal mine. At night.
Okay, kids, I'll back up a little. You see, when you have several kinds of bacteria, or bugs, I guess you'd call them, or when you want to separate one part of a substance from another, you put them in a centrifuge, turn on the switch, and the machine whirls them around at a few thousand revolutions per minute.
Then what happens?
Presto, like this. Centrifuge separates the lighter from the heavier parts. In this case, the bacteria I'm hoping to find from the solution they grew in. And, well, here you are. Look for yourselves.
Hey, it worked.
I'll be darned.
Now, I'll transfer these bacteria to a culture.
Here we go again.
Well, a culture is merely something for the bacteria to grow in and feed from.
Oh.
In this case, I'm going to use the fertilized egg of a chicken. And if the experiment works, I'll soon know if these bacteria can live and grow in living tissue. At other times, the culture might be milk or a sugar solution or even a bit of custard pie. It's a way we scientific detectives have of finding out a lot of things.
I don't see much detective work there.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, Sandy. You'd be surprised. Hello.
Hello, Tim. Is that you?
Oh, hello, Jarvis. How are things down at the health department?
Well, we could sure use you right now if you've got the time. We're pretty short-handed and something's come up I don't like at all. Right in your neighborhood.
Well, anything serious?
14 calls during the last hour, and all from your part of town. Food poisoning, I think.
Any clues?
Not yet. Haven't had time to check thoroughly. Thought you might help there. Like to get out your set of false mustaches and do a little detective work?
Why, Dr. Jarvis, you know us junior G-men have given up disguises. The latest thing is to graft noses on us like a bloodhound.
All right, any way you please. Now, I'll give you a list of the names and addresses of everybody we have that's been reported so far. And let you get to work your own way.
A few minutes later, Sandy, Jill, and I were mapping out our campaign. Now, some people think it's kind of funny for a combination doctor and detective to count on a couple of kids for help on a case. But let me tell you that those two are just about the most valuable assistants I have. In between phone calls reporting new cases of food poisoning, we outlined the problem and our work.
So you mean you'd like us to get a complete list of everything the sick people ate today?
Exactly. And then by putting those lists together, we ought to find that all of them had one kind of food somewhere along the line, or ate at the same restaurant, perhaps. In other words, you see, we need a common factor to start with.
I get it. You're trying to track down where the food poisoning came from.
Exactly. And that way, we can stop anyone else from eating the contaminated food.
But gee, what is it? Arsenic or rat poisoning or something?
Well, that's what I'm going to find out by a careful laboratory analysis after I visit a couple of those sick people. However, I'm willing to bet that we'll find our old friends, the bacteria, at the bottom of it.
Germs, huh?
Yes. Well, let's get going, kids.
Okay, my list is milk and canned soup and cream pie. Oh, yes. Dr. Kim would like to know where you bought the pie, or if...
Let's see if I have it right, Mr. Adams. You and your wife ate hamburgers, canned pork and beans, and drank coffee. Dr. Kim told me to ask you where you bought the hamburgers. The rest of the things don't matter.
You didn't eat anything at home, is that right? Now, I'm supposed to find out at which restaurant you ate.
Thanks. Now, let's be sure I have it right. Steak, potatoes, fresh carrots, and chocolate eclairs. You sure that's everything? Dr. Jim wants to be sure.
By the time I arrived home after looking in on some of the patients, I had enough laboratory material to keep me busy for quite a spell. Samples of food from several homes, minute bits of waste from the patients, and lists similar to those Sandy and Jill were compiling. I went into my laboratory and sat down for a few moments to think. So far, nothing about the case made sense. Except that all those people did have food poisoning. No doubt about that. And some of them were mighty sick indeed. There'd be a lot more if we didn't track down the source of the trouble in a hurry. Stop anyone else from eating the germ-laden food. Silently, I went to work. A few minutes later, Sandy and Jill were going over their lists of the food eaten by the poisoned patients with Dr. Jarvis. And as I adjusted my microscope for the umpteenth time, I found what I was looking for. I motioned the others over. Well, here's the criminal.
See, let me see.
Yeah, me too.
They all peered into the microscope. Dr. Jarvis was the first to speak.
Nasty little germ, salmonella.
What salmonella?
I suppose it accounts for more food poisoning than all the other bacteria put together. Doesn't kill very many people. It sure makes a lot of them plenty sick.
Did you find out where it came from?
Unfortunately, no. There aren't any samples of the food I've tested so far that show its presence. The bacteria you see under the microscope are from the stomach contents of one of the patients.
Well, we're not having too much luck ourselves. Like to hear the reports of the investigation?
I think that's the next step.
Okay, Jill, you've been keeping score. Suppose you start.
Well, there isn't any one food that everybody ate.
No. Wouldn't you know it?
Oh, it's worse than that. There aren't even two kinds of food on everybody's list. I mean, you know, half of them one thing and half another.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain doesn't make sense.
It looks like a dead end from here.
Well, let's do the best we can. Let's find the, say, the three items that appear oftenest in the list you've made. It just might be a connection. First, though, I think we can rule out canned food, because there hasn't been any real trouble with commercially canned food for years. And it's impossible that all those people ate the same home canned stuff that might have gone bad. This is going to be tougher than I thought. The results of our detective work were peculiar, to say the least. But we did prove one thing. There were three food items to be suspected, because one of those three appeared in all the diets of the ones who ate at home. With a flourish of his pencil, Dr. Jarvis summed it up.
Well, here we are. Those poisoned people had either hamburger in some form, cream pie, or chocolate eclairs. Doesn't make sense.
Wait a minute, I've got an idea. I've been working on the ones who ate out, and all of them had one of those three.
Hold on a minute.
Wait till you hear this one. I've been doing the stores and the restaurants. Everybody that ate out went to the drugstore down on the corner.
This is beginning to add up to something.
Let me see your list, Joe. No, the other one. All the pastry, the cream pies, and the chocolate eclairs came from one bakery.
Well, sure, and we have meatloaf, hamburgers, meatballs, and tamale pie, all made with ground meat from the same butcher shop.
You're sure of that?
Uh-huh.
Now all we have to do is to chase all over town to those various stores, trying to find out what and why.
Gosh, no, you don't.
Don't what?
Don't have to chase all over town, or even this end of it. That bakery and the meat market and the drugstore where the people ate are all right together. Just four blocks down the street.
Say, wait a minute. If that's true, Jarvis, I think we might have the answer. Let's get going. Fast.
Come on, let's go. Come on.
As we drove the short distance to the shopping center, I got to thinking. You know, it's a funny thing about mysteries, especially complicated ones like this one, where people scattered over a wide area all come down with the same illness at once. At first, things don't even make sense. Look impossible, you might say. And then, with a bit of information added here and there, a dim pattern begins to take shape. Well, that's exactly what happened in the poison mystery this time. Here's what we knew. Three food items caused those people to become deathly ill. Well, two, really, because it occurred to me that the filling of cream pie and the filling of chocolate eclairs is the same. and the other was hamburger. Both items came from the same two stores. Those who had eaten at the drugstore had eaten either hamburger or the cream filling. What would be more logical than for the drugstore food to be purchased at the butcher shop next door and the bakery two doors down? So the pattern was now clear. Only one part of the mystery remained. How could both the pastry and the hamburger become poisoned with the germs of salmonella? And as we drove up in front of the stores and parked, an almost forgotten item of my medical training popped into my mind. I was sure I had the answer. Well, as we gathered in my laboratory a little later, Sandy, Jill, Dr. Jarvis, and myself, we were a happy gang. There wouldn't be any more cases of food poisoning from that source, at least. Lost in thought, I heard Sandy ask,
"But gee, Dr. Tim, how come you went right into those stores and started looking for rats?"
"You sure fooled me."
"Well, as Dr. Jarvis could tell you as well as I, one of the commonest carriers of salmonella, the food poisoning bug, is rats and mice. A few of their droppings around a food store and, well, you've seen what happens."
"Oh, that's why we have inspections by the city and campaigns against rats and mice, even if you can't get results 100% of the time."
"But why would the cream filling in the hamburger be full of germs?"
"Well, you remember what I told you about cultures, the perfect material for bacteria to grow on?"
"Yeah."
"Sure."
"Well, two of the best cultures in the world for salmonella are cream fillings and ground meat, especially in a warm place like the bakery, or when left outside the refrigerator in a butcher shop. It's the perfect setup for an epidemic like ours."
"But why did those stores being right together give you the idea?"
"Elementary, my dear Sandy, elementary. It would be rather strange that two or three different sets of food poisoning would break out on the same day at widely separated spots. So figuring that adjoining buildings would offer plenty of opportunity for the same carriers to go back and forth freely, I apprehended the poisoners at large. It's a matter of get rid of the rats, get rid of the poisoners. And believe me, that's going to be done." This is Dr. Tim Detective, saying so long until next week at this same time, when Sandy, Jill, and I will bring you the exciting transcribed story I call The Mystery of the House That Jack Built.